The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Feed at your table. Jesus, we give you thanks. Aliakamos, seven egedi hanos, ammonia kamenes, savalagodopebene shata. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you for this table that you are serving. Thank you for this table that you are serving. Oh, thank you for everlasting meals that you are bringing to the table. Lord, we thank you because you have showed mercy upon us. We have found mercy with you to bring us to this table of life, everlasting. We'll give you thanks for showing us mercy. We'll give you thanks for showing our generation mercy. We'll thank you because, Lord, you are sounding a great trumpet in our day. Alerting men to come into your day. And Father, we are hearkening to this trumpet. We are stripping off garments that needs to be stripped off. We are putting on new garments that can access mercy for this day. We give you thanks, our Father. We thank you for blessing us in life campaign so far. We thank you for helping your servants to speak things concerning your kingdom. We thank you for pouring grace upon their lips. Lord, I wait upon you this morning. I ask for mercy. Lord, everything I will say are words that I can only fetch from you. And so, Lord, I rely upon your spirit for grace. I ask for mercy this morning. Oh, I come under you, God. I come under you, God. I come under this morning to receive help. I receive help. I receive help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go back to that scripture we stopped from yesterday. I just tried to do a foundational work. I trust that I can probe more on those scriptures and give us more insight concerning the day that we are in. Can we say amen? I love the theme of this meeting because I perceive God is using Reverend to make us come into greater sight of the season. It is the season that determines your preparation. If you are not alert concerning season, you will not be able to prepare adequately. I think it's, you know, part of the prophetic expression of the New Testament is to alert us concerning seasons of God, not seasons of men. A prophet of the New Testament is not necessarily at par with the seasons of man concerning the program of man. They can do that as God permits, but much more one off out of many expressions of grace in the prophetic office in the New Testament is to probe into the seasons of God. Can we say amen? And you can't know the seasons of God without the alignment with doctrine. I said that yesterday. Without doctrine, the seasons of God will elude you. So I perceive in my heart that this team is making us probe deeper, like we are having an introspect into the season that is upon us. Can we say amen? So see 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I gave you a backdrop yesterday. All the apostle grew churches, they did a steady work of movement by lines and understanding. They were making sure the churches were progressive in their journey. Can we say amen? So now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then as workers together with him. You know, Paul referred to himself and those that were with him, amen, as ambassadors of Christ, for Christ. I like that word, ambassadors. So we understand that you can't be an ambassador of the New Testament without God's light. Can we say amen? This ambassador is not every believer. It's those that are already using the light of God. They can now represent the interest of God. So, a worker is someone that is in the journey of perfecting everlasting works. Okay? So, we then as workers together with him beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We are supposed to use grace to abound in salvation. Hallelujah. What did I say? We are supposed to use grace to what? Abound in salvation. For he said, I have what? Accepted thee in a time accepted. So that is the season of acceptance. Okay? It is a season. And like I think Reverend Busui said yesterday, it's an open door, it's an open window. Okay? That door will not be shut upon us. Can we say amen? Amen. It's a season. You must find the entrance. Okay? You know, you're not the one that will open the door. They are the one that will open it. If they close the door, you're a soup. So you must be at that season at the right time. There is a season called the acceptable time. And that is when they accept you. I have heard thee in a time accepted. I have helped thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I what? Succored thee. So like we said yesterday, the day of Christ, or the season of Christ, which we call the acceptable year, climaxes in a season. The end of that season rather is called the acceptable time. It's the time of the year. And that time intersects with the day of salvation. You know, the way the Lord painted this thing to me, I want to present it. Reverend is here. God painted the doctrines as intersects. So Christ intersects with the Father. The Father intersects with God. So as you are concluding each season, you enter into the other. So in fact, the strength to finish a season comes by you entering the next phase. So you can't finish Christ without entering into the fatherhood. Neither can you finish the fatherhood without what? Accessing the milk of God. You know, every domain of the kingdom has its own milk. So even eternal life, you know, this eternal life thing, I'm very sure when we get closer to it, there are certain things that will start opening. But I know that eternal life also has its own milk. So as you are perfecting the fatherhood into God, you will be born into eternal life. So there are also seasons in eternal life. Can we say amen? In the day of salvation is the acceptable time. And that is the day where the light of God will begin to dawn. Can we say the light of God? The light of God here is the shining of everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is the beginning of eternal life. You begin with life everlasting and journey until you come into what? Eternity. God dwells where? In eternity. But the giving of everlasting light is the bringing of man into eternity. But for man to become eternal, because man, the original promise of God to us is that he will give us what? Eternal life. Am I right? 1 John chapter 2 verse 25. This is the promise that he has promised us, even what? Eternal life. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. For the hope Of what? Eternal life, which what? God that cannot lie. That God that cannot lie is God that is immutable. God that cannot lie is an immutable God, is an unchangeable God. There are forces or laws in him that makes him not lie. God is not a man that he should what? Lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should what? Repent. Those are the decking of the natures of incorruption and immortality. Those things that make God not be able to turn is what promised to give eternal life to man. And so we know this will get done. Can we say amen? However, there is a journey. I think, sir, one of the challenges I think is with the modern church is we found that we have known some things and we have put a full stop on it. One of those subjects is salvation. It's just, we just put a full stop on the subject of salvation. I recently saw one, was it a YouTube between some fathers arguing on salvation? And I said, if we can only know that there's so much God has not yet, we have not yet known concerning salvation. Can we say amen? Now, one thing that I can say as we progress in this is that our understanding of salvation is being upgraded. Can we say amen? Now, for starters, because I know a lot of people are streaming in this meeting, salvation is beyond the new birth. I'm sure we are okay with that. Salvation is far beyond what? The new birth. The new birth is beginning of a journey. So salvation is a journey, amen. And the journey of salvation is calibrated by understanding. So without understanding, you can't measure your walk in salvation world. So it is light and understanding that begins to bring knowledge of salvation. Can we say amen? Very, very important. So are we together? So like I told you, the doctrines are, they form and intersect. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of God. Can we all say this together? The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of God. Can we say it one more time? The mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, and the mystery of God. Amen. Now, without alignment of these mysteries in understanding, you can't understand salvation. Salvation is hidden in a progressive revelation of the doctrines of the kingdom. And the doctrines of the kingdom begin with Christ. And I think this house has done a good job on that. Amen. Except you just joined Eternal Life Embassy. Hallelujah. Christ is the first mystery of the kingdom. Am I right? I have seniors here. Amen. Pastor Thompson is my professor. Another prof. Praise God. You can see his hair. Hallelujah. Amen. So Christ is the first mystery of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Please don't mind us. Amen. Christ is the first mystery of the kingdom. So without Christ understanding, you cannot have a domain in God. In fact, Christ is the first dominion of God. Amen. What did I say? Christ is the first dominion of God. In that God domain, there is a first dominion. So if you don't have a domain in that dominion, you can access the everlasting kingdom. Can we say amen? Now let's look at, I want to show you scriptures from the Old and New Testament concerning the mysteries of the kingdom. And then we'll probe further into the day of salvation. Amen. Now look at first, okay, thank you. You have given me Colossians chapter 2. Thank you. For their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love, unto all riches. Can we all say the word all riches? So there are riches that are not complete. There is some riches. Christ is riches. But when you have the knowledge of Christ, it's not all riches. Okay, you still need to come into the riches of the Father and then the riches of God. Can we say amen? Okay. So, all riches of full assurance of understanding. So I can't come into full assurance until there is a complete revelation of all the riches of ahead, all the riches of the kingdom. So, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of what? God, and of what? The Father, and of Christ. So, Paul rendered it in a condescending manner. So, journeying from this, our own angle, we begin first with what? The mystery of Christ. Ask me why. Come on, ask me why. Because we were flesh. Okay? And the first mystery of the kingdom that the flesh can understand is Christ. Flesh can't understand God. Romans chapter 8. Okay? A man of flesh. And when you got born again, you are still flesh. Even though you have the Holy Ghost in you, you still, your state can still be described as flesh. Can we say amen? A flesh is, when we say flesh, we're a carnal man. And you need to feed on the milk of Christ to grow before they now begin to feed you with doctrine of Christ. And the essence of the doctrine of Christ is to convert you from a carnal man to what? A spiritual man. Can we say amen? So the conversion from carnality to spirituality is done majorly by the teaching of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm trying to lay these things gradually. Now, I know we have pastors here. I want to say and encourage you that you must teach Christ in your church. If not, your saints will not grow. It's just the truth. They will remain children. There is one thing. You can't harass them from the pulpit. They won't grow. They need to be fed. You know, we understand the technology of feeding naturally, but we need to understand that as we feed children in the natural and they grow, it's also the same in the spirit. If you don't feed them on the right diet, they are not going to grow. They will not come out the way they ought to come out. And at times it's possible that we mix Christ up. You know, you take Christ, put motivation there, put what the religion, legalism, mix it up and give the saints. That's concussion. We must learn how to stay on Christ. Can we all shout the word stay on Christ? Christ is a complete meal. I discovered that in pastoring. You don't need to add anything. If you now you move from, how many of you know that milk is the beginning of Christ? Milk of Christ now. When you are teaching milk, if you are teaching proper milk, you are only preparing them for meat. So in a very ideal kingdom environment, when you teach milk, people will start getting hungry for the next allocation. They will now want to grow more. I'm sure that happened to some of us. When we did milk a little bit, we were not okay. We began to look for food. Pastor Thompson will tell you, we look for food everywhere. We traveled everywhere. You know, I appreciate many of the fathers in the body. We hate most of them. We hate their food. But we know, it's not just like when you take pap, 7 o'clock in the morning, what will happen to you? By now, you're eating pear. You're already hungry. So, we hate those things, but we're not, so we started looking for food everywhere. So, looking for materials, you know? So, then through experience that should come to you when you are fed on milk is that you are hungry for Christ. So, the essence of Christ is to do a work of conversion. That work of conversion is necessary to turn your soul from being carnal. You can't treat a carnal soul with anything except Christ. What did I say? Anything. A carnal man is carnal because of his law. So if you don't change that law, it remains carnal. So changing the law is what the doctrine of Christ does. The doctrine of Christ is the activity of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to terminate the law of sin and death, which is the law of a carnal man. Can we say amen? Amen. So what makes a carnal man is his law. What makes a spiritual man is his law. So the unveiling of Christ is the bringing of a law And the law of anything is the knowledge of that thing. So it's the bringing of the knowledge of Christ to terminate the state of carnality. Carnality is a state. It is a thought, it's a sense, it's a judgment, it's how you interpret life. And no matter how you try, you will see life from one perspective. You know, there's a way when you are teaching this kind of thing, people will be saying, what are they saying? They are not practical. That's a carnal man. A carnal man, you can't help it. It's the way you see. You see food, water, shelter as more important than revelation. Amen. It is your state. It means you need something to change that. We need to break that formation with a doctrine. So that's what Christ does. Are we here? Now, I'm saying that I'm laying foundation that the reason why Christ must be taught is to prepare you for a season of life that can only take God. Nothing will respond to the dominion of God except a man has found a stake in Christ. Can we say amen? So it's important that we establish the churches more again and again in Christ. We need to be fluid with Christ. Fluent with Christ. We need to do Christ well. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 2 of Colossians. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm doing a good job. Okay. Now look at verse 2. Everybody must... You know, God told me, sir, that in this season of everlasting life, that we must carry everybody along. So we need wisdom to be able to, from time to time, break the things down so that everybody can understand. Can we say amen? Now, look at verse 3. So, in whom are hid all the treasures? So, they have put all the treasures in him. Okay? In whom are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. So those treasures are secrets of the kingdom. Christ, Father, God. Can we say that? Christ, Father, God. So, now, they are what we must make progress in to gain ground in the world of God. So you can't have dominion of God, which is an everlasting dominion, without first concluding or having the blessing that comes by learning Christ. Then make progress. You know, you increase in life. When you have done Christ, so you appreciate. Now, when we say everlasting life, it's more life. What did I say? When we say what? Everlasting life. What is it? It's more life. It's appreciating in life. Amen. Take me to Colossians 1. I will just follow grace as the Spirit is dropping it in my heart. Colossians 1 verse 9. Let's look at it again. Amen. Colossians 1 verse 9. Thank you. Verse 9, please. It says, for this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. And desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. In all words, wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. So this is, you can't walk worthy of Christ except you are filled with what? The knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Can we say all pleasing? Another word for all pleasing is well pleasing. So you will do Christ until you are coming to all pleasure in that dominion. Can we say amen? Now it says, being fruitful in every good work. So a sign that you are entering into another acceptable time, like I said, is the end of a season and the beginning of another season, is that you are fruitful in every good work. So God is expecting fruits. Can we say amen? Fruits of righteousness, or fruits unto holiness. Fruits that are the showing that you are profited with Christ. So that you are what? Being fruitful in every good work. Then appreciating in the knowing of God. So that increasing in the knowledge of God is increasing in more life. So when you have appreciated with the light of Christ, they will bring more light to you. So you can see increasing in the knowledge of God. So everlasting life is increase of life to those that have appreciated with what? With life. Can we say amen? So the carnal man cannot begin with everlasting. It begins with what? Life. Can we all shout the word? Say life. This is an ounce of life. Can we say life? So I begin with life. Life first in your spirit by believing. Amen. But the life in your spirit must be taught as doctrine to your soul. That's why if life is in your spirit and life is not being taught, that soul will not appreciate in Christ. So, your spirit is new, but your soul is old. Ephesians 4 calls it what? An old man. That old man must now appreciate in understanding, and that will convert it from being old to being new. Your soul must be born. What did I say? Oh, you are not talking to me. The new man is a new soul. Is the soul of Christ. And they say, put on Christ. So how do you put on Christ? Without knowledge. Amen. Without knowledge, you can't put him on. So you need knowledge of Christ to put him on. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going down to Christ this morning. Can we say amen? Yeah, we have to do that way. You know, remember, Suisa, I noticed that if you struggle with Christ, you will hate everlasting life. It will confuse you more. You'll be saying, what are they saying? They are just making things complex. Nobody is making anything complex. You know, the little children of this work, they will teach it. Have you seen all those T-Lash and all these boys teaching this thing? The thing is clear now. Even if you want to argue, look at us listening to those boys. Oh, Pileke, all these PP, they are terrible boys. They will just open scripture and be teaching it like it's their toy. Meanwhile, you can be, everybody must be meek. You may be holding the ministry, I don't know it. Oh, you are not saying amen.
Amen.
Where this thing is going, we need to be meek. I'm sure, sir, for you to be teaching this assembly, you'll have been meek over and over again. Because I'm sure, sir, you'll have taught something 5 years ago, and then you see it in a new light and teach it more. You have to be meek to even accept what is coming. Hallelujah. So, Ephesians 4 verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. So, who is learning Christ? It's the soul. Your spirit is Christ, but your soul doesn't know Christ. And meaning your soul must go to school. The local church or the church should be a school of learning. Beginning with Christ. Can we say amen? So, we begin our learning with what? Christ. So you have not learned Christ. So you must learn Christ by teaching. If Christ is not taught, we can't learn him. Can we say amen? You can't read your Bible and learn Christ. I just want to study the Bible. I'm not saying don't study the Bible. Amen. But studying the Bible does not communicate Christ's wisdom. Christ is a wisdom. The wisdom is not intellectual wisdom. The wisdom is a spiritual wisdom that it comes by preaching and teaching and by hearing and by being taught. Hallelujah. So you have not so what? Learned Christ. If so, you have what? Heard him. So you must first hear Christ before you have been taught. You didn't hear that. That hearing is preaching. So you are first preached to before you are being taught. Because if you are not preached to, you can't be taught. Teaching takes more strength. So you need faith first. You know, the essence of preaching is for people to believe. You are like evangelizing the heart. So we also have that season of preaching of everlasting life. When we preach everlasting life, then we now start settling with teaching. I believe that we are still in the early seasons of everlasting life. So we are still doing more preaching. Teaching will start coming gradually because it is with more light that skill for teaching will increase. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So, in with Christ, you first hear Christ, then you are being what? Taught by him. As the truth is in what? Jesus. So, what is in Jesus is truth. That truth is the formation of life by law that must be transposed inside you. So you can't behave like Christ except there is a law inside you. You know, that behavior is a function of a law. The reason why a he good does what he does is because he has a law.
The reason why a lion does is because it has a law. The reason why pepper does like pepper is because it has pepper law. The reason why you act like Christ is because you have Christ's law. It's beyond fasting and prayer. You know, we have used wrong things. You go and fast 40 days, you are still the same person. Now, I'm not condemning fasting. We fast in our local church. But fasting without knowledge is tantamount to waste of energy. No teaching, no life, no education, no skill, no training in righteousness by understanding. The flesh cannot die by strength. It's a law. A law does not go because you are just making confession. A law goes because it is being chanced by another law. I like the word chance. I'm using it deliberately. They must chance the law of sin and death in you. They must chance it. You know what they say? Chance, you know, if you went to some seconds, you know what chancing is. When you are coming in the morning with money, some senior will just put you in one corner and say, oh yeah, you're going to go to a pocket. They have chanced you, amen. Christ can chance sin and death. He can displace it. He can say, yeah, go away. But nothing less than that. If you use any other method, sin and death will not go. You only answers to Christ. Are we here? Amen. I say, are we here? Let's just make progress. I'll go back to where I'm coming from. So put off the former, is that verse 22? That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt, into what? To this, according to deceitful laws. So the old man is a corrupt man, and it is can only be removed by the imposition of the law of the new man. So, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You can see that spirit there is small s. I'm going somewhere. It's the law of the new man. Can we say amen? Or the nature of the new man. So that spirit there is the law and the nature of the new man. Are we together? Are we here? Verse 24, thank you. That's where I'm going. I want to show you the essence of the new man so that you can understand salvation better. Because who they want to really save is this man that has become new. Am I right? Is this new man that can comprehend salvation? Now, and you put on the new man. I like the word put on. Put on the new man. Which was after God. So it's the new man that is actually waiting for God. I like the word after God. He's God-like. He's like God. The new man is not yet incorruptible. But it is after. So look at it. Which after God is what? Created in righteousness and true holiness. So this new man is a man that can submit to the law of God. Can we say amen? Amen. Are we here? So Christ is the first mystery of the kingdom, or the first domain in God. So you must take your hold in Christ first. If not, you can't access the everlasting kingdom. Now let me show you Isaiah 52? Look at Isaiah 52. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, help me this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, from verse 1, then we jump to verse 7. Amen. Awake, awake. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy what? Beautiful garment. So Zion must first put on strength. Then Zion must put on beautiful garments. You know, God told Aaron in Exodus chapter 29 that his garments were for glory and for beauty. So beautiful garments here, everlasting garments. Strength I perceive in my spirit is, you know, you come into strength when you are perfecting Christ in the first seasons of everlasting life. So everlasting life also gives you a kind of joy. You know what I mean? The first season of everlasting life. Everlasting life also has its own milk. It has its milk. There's milk of the Father. What did I say? There is. Every domain has milk. Can we say amen? So the dominion of the Father will also have milk. That milk is what will give strength to Zion. Hallelujah. They will begin to rejoice in the hope of salvation. Amen. But the garments of Zion are incorruption and immortality. The garments, you know, it's a beautiful garment. If you look at Exodus chapter 29, it says that the garments of Aaron are for glory and for beauty. That glory is the glory of the Father. The beauty is the beauty of God. The beauty of everlasting life is eternal life. Hallelujah. What did I say? The beauty of everlasting life is eternal life. Eternal life is beautiful. It's a beautiful life. Now look at verse 7. Go back to verse 7. You will see all the doctrines here also. The doctrines here. Verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains. They look the word beautiful. The reason why they can use beautiful, Pastor Tyasa, is because God is reigning. Beauty is attached to reigning. Now, I will explain this further. How beautiful are the mountains? At the feet of him that bringeth first good tidings. Good tidings is the gospel of Christ. Am I right? So the first dominion in our journey in coming into God is what? Christ. So you first bring good tidings and publish peace. Then that bringeth what? Good tidings of good. Can we all say that? Good tidings of good. So what the light of everlasting life is bringing is what? Good tidings of good. That publisheth salvation. So we will first publish peace. Can we say amen? Then we will publish what? Salvation. As we are being taught tidings of salvation. Those good tidings of good are tidings of salvation. They are the opening of the mystery of the Father. It is the Father that has the secret of saving you incorruptible. There's something called salvation incorruptible. It is the mystery of the Father to save a soul. Hallelujah. He will save you and preserve. He will sanctify you and preserve you. To preserve you means you can't corrupt or you can't perish. The Father's job is to stop spoilage. He has the secret to embalm a soul with the forces of corruption. So Zion will publish peace. Zion will also move further in understanding so that she can publish salvation. Why? Because there is a last season in our journey. He says that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Everybody say, God reigneth. The reigning life is eternal life. So this God reigneth here is the mystery of God. So we see in this place also the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the Father, and also what? The mystery of God. They won't concern you. You are not said to be reigning until you have what? In eternal life. Eternal life is the reigning life. What did I say? Say, everlasting life is the saving life. Say, Christ's life is a sanctified life. Or separate, or purified. So you can see, we are being purified by Christ. We are being saved in the knowledge of everlasting life. And we are being glorified. You know, there's a glory that comes when eternal life comes. That eternal life glory is actually the giving of the very life of God. Can we say amen? So Zion must make progress. So the dawning of God's day is on Zion. Zion. Zion that has grown and appreciated in light of Christ. Take me back to Isaiah chapter 62. Amen. Isaiah 62. We will look at Isaiah a lot. And, you know, comparing New Testament, Old Testament, prophet scripture. Isaiah 62. Amen. Verse 11. Isaiah 6 is teach Zion. Okay? Teach Zion. Zion must be taught. Now, you need to know all the epistles that we read There were all types of Zion churches. Amen. All the epistles, most of those epistles were churches that were in the Zionic experience at a state. They were all in different stages of Zion experience because all of them had already received Christ. By the time Peter, for instance, was writing his epistle, much of the churches have appreciated with the light of Christ. They have made progress from faith unto what? Charity. Can we say amen? All the scriptures, check Peter, check what they call it, Paul, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians. They were all churches that were already Zion to a state based on the water of Christ. Can we say amen? That already began to come into the first experience of Zion in coming into charity. Now you could see the churches were being, they were being encouraged to do charity well. You can't talk to flesh to do charity. Hallelujah. Or to perfect charity or to be fervent in love. It means that they have used the light of Christ to a point where they have been purified. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says that, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying what? The truth. So it is the truth of Christ that does what? Purifies the souls through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. Okay? In answer, see ye that you now love one another with a pure heart, fervently. So it's an instruction to perfect love to conclude the experience that Zion must be in for light to visit Zion. So everlasting light will not visit us, or will not be able to use that light or respond to that light outside this state. So this is preparation. See that you love yourself with a pure heart. First, your heart must be purified. According to Ezekiel chapter 36, your heart must have been washed by the water of Christ. Can we say amen? Then you have been given the new spirit. The new spirit there is the law of the new man. You will have used that spirit is what now converts a pure heart to what? A new heart. Can we say amen? So it is when a pure heart does charity well that the heart begins to be perfected in charity. It says, see that you love one another with a pure heart. They have already been loving one another. The man says that take that love, make it fervent. Have a say fervent love. You know, this thing is not as easy as we think. This is the final burial ceremony in that dominion. Because when you are doing fervent love, you are going to come, they have to bury you. What you see here is a death measurement. They are saying this is how God will come to Zion with light. So, see that you what? Love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Be born again. Hallelujah. So as you are fervent in love, something is happening to you. Amen. What I say is happening. You are being what? Born. So this is not new birth. This is not new birth when your spirit got born again. This is being born from the domain of Christ into the domain of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but now of what? Incorruptible seed. So the light of salvation, what he is bringing to us is what? An incorruptible seed. I will say incorruptible seed. Say it again. The life of anything is in the seed. So it means that an incorruptible seed must be sown on the heart. You have to sow seed before it grows to a tree, Abi. So if they are bringing now in the season of fervent charity in Christ, they are now bringing a season where they are bringing the incorruptible seed. The incorruptible seed has the incorruptible life inside. It must be sown in Zion. They are not sowing incorruptible seed in the outer, in the camp. And they don't even sow it in the outer court. So it means a church that has not made progress cannot even take that seed. The ground must be fertile. Can we say amen? The fertility of the soil is by fervent love. So then now sow that seed. It's called incorruptible seed. Now, they can still sow that seed and it does not grow. You know, a seed may not grow. There are many factors that must be in place. But that seed has the secret of the incorruptible life, of the dominion of God, of the dominion of the Father. So, amen. I'm sure Pastor Thompson will build on this. Hallelujah. I trust you very well. By the word of God. By the word, I say word of God. So, sir, in the dawning of God's day, what is coming to us is the word of God. The word of God. Someone says, what are they saying? Has it not been the word of God? The word, you have to see word. Tell your neighbor, the word is not word. Seed is not seed. Every seed is not the same seed. Mango seed is not the same thing as orange seed. So, amen. So, Christ's seed is not God's seed. Every seed has inside him a dominion of life. If you want God's life, you must first take God's seed. So, they have first committed one seed to this church that they have used. They have profited in it. They are now telling them that they will be born again. So, like I normally tell people, you don't have one born again in the Bible. Hallelujah. Born again is not once. You have new birth. You have born of the Spirit. You have born of God. They are not the same thing. Amen. Am I talking? So birth is progressive by knowledge. The more light comes, you are being what? Born. Reverend, am I right, sir? As light is coming, you are being what? Born. So you need light to be born. Tell them, say, I need light to be born. I need understanding for birth. Eh? So they are not saying that now you are being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. Kai. It says by the word of God. So it's this word that is coming to Zion. So what is coming in this day? Or dawning of the God's day is the incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. And that incorruptible seed is for us to become incorruptible. So the new definition of salvation is become incorruptible. So ask yourself, so when you say I am saved, what kind of life do you have inside you? If it's not incorruption, salvation has not been finished. You don't even know that salvation work can be finished in a soul. And for salvation to be done, the man who are done. To be done means that you are incorruptible. You are undefiled. And you are unfading. Meaning you can't perish. I believe that doctrine of once saved, forever saved is a premeditated attack from Satan to stop progression of salvation work. It's a terrible ignorance. Scripture itself shows. I saw one person arguing, one of our fathers, Bishop Oyedepo. Someone arguing with him and, you know, making jest of it. Those fathers still have, thank God for them. Can we say amen? If you can still spoil, you have not been saved. If you can still perish, you have not been saved. So, they are telling you that there is a season in your journey that they will give you a word that works out the nature that does not what? Perish. So that's that season that we are looking at. So, by the word of God, I live it and abide it. I like that word, live it and abide. Those are the characteristics of incorruptibility. Can we say amen? You first live. Everybody say, I'll first live. This live here is beyond having life of Christ. This live here is that you are living. Living here is the fatherhood of God. When you are living, it means that you are already living in the dominion of God. You have already started, you know, you have already started responding to life everlasting. You are responding. When somebody is responding to God, he's living. He's living. Which liveth. But you don't just live. You now what? Abide. Hallelujah. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights. Eh? Amen. Of whom there is no what? Variableness or shadow of turning. That variableness is that you are living. That shadow of turning is that you abide. There are two blessings of the fatherhood of God. Amen. Now, I'm saying all this to go back to 1 Peter. To show you that light of salvation is to perfect the work of incorruptibility in Zion. It's not anywhere outside Zion. Because Zion, God has chosen that He will make Zion an abode. So God is not going to dwell anywhere. God is going to dwell in Zion. Zion first become an abode of the Father. Then Zion will become a place of rest. The rest of God. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. So take me to chapter 2. Amen. Am I making progress? I'm trying to make progress from Christ into salvation. So salvation is the giving of everlasting life. Can we all say that? Or the inheriting of life. And you cannot inherit a life that you have not used. You must use that life and it becomes yours. The nature of everlasting life becomes an inheritance when you have obeyed His commandments. Every life or every seed has laws inside. Those laws must become obeyed. Okay, when you obey those laws begin to form their work inside you. They work out themselves inside you. It's a mystery of salvation. Hallelujah. So wherefore, laying aside all malice. Everybody say, lay aside. Now, you're not able to lay aside until you have intersected. It is in the acceptable time that you do this. In the acceptable time, you are in the day of salvation and you are concluding the season of Christ. It is at that time that you are now having wisdom or strength. You know, remember, I told you that Zion must first put on strength. The reason why you need to put on strength is that you need to lay aside certain natures that are stubborn. You lay them aside by strength that is coming. So salvation line is bringing strength to you. Can we say amen? In first concluding a season. In the season of the holy place is not concluded purely except light shines from the most holy. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not confusing you. So wherefore laying aside all malice, all guile. This is not some all. All what? Hypocrisies and what? Envies and all evil speakings. These are things that you will not be able to lay aside until the day of salvation begins to come. So it is at the dawn that they begin to give you fresh energy and strength to lay aside. So you need a meal to do this. Now look at verse 2. It answers us, newborn babes. You know, we read this scripture for many years. We thought it was talking to us when we got back as newborn babes. No, this is not talking to you. These are babes of God. Because it's incorruptible seed that they are giving them. So they are not talking to a baby that just got born again. This is not a carnal church. This is a church that are already perfecting charity into the day of God. So as newborn babes, so God has His own babes. Hallelujah. Babes. I remember Abiola babes. Hallelujah. I remember I went to watch them 1 year, maybe 1989 there. In Onikko Stadium. Abiola babes. So God has His own babes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are children of God. These are daughters. Thank you, sir. Of Zion. Zion, you are first a daughter of Zion before you become a son. To become a son of Zion, you are already incorruptible. Ah. But these daughters must feed. They begin first with milk. As newborn babes, with sincere milk of the word. This word now is the word of incorruptibility. That ye may what? Grow thereby. So your growth now is in salvation. You are not gaining domain in God. Hallelujah. What did I say you are getting domain in? In God. That you may grow thereby. So there is growth measurement in everlasting life. You are growing in appreciation of God, that you may grow thereby. Now, verse 3 is where I'm going. If so, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, do you remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Paul told them not to receive the grace of God in vain. That grace is the grace that is coming as you are being fed with the milk of God. Hallelujah! Praise God! So the milk of God is what they give you at the dawning of the day. They begin you with milk. You can't process meat first. Amen. Everlasting meat is strong, sir. You will take that milk and appreciate that milk. When that milk begins to, you know, the Bible says butter and honey shall eat. But meaning that I begin first with milk, and that milk, as it grows, it becomes what? Butter. That milk is cheese. Wara. It's the water of God. It is the food of salvation. Now, what I'm trying to tell you now is that in the day, dawning of God's day, they begin to bring unto Zion meal to begin to savor, to do a work of salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see all these things here. If say you take it that the Lord is gracious, this Lord here is not Christ, it's the Lord Almighty. It's the next level of lordship. You know, we have lordship in degrees. We have the Lord, yes. Then we have our Lord Almighty, and then we have God. Lord God. So if so, verse 4, thank you. If so, to whom coming as a living stone? Okay, so who are they coming to? They are coming to Zion. As a living stone, disallowed indeed of what? Man. But what? Chosen of God and precious. Now to become precious, let me say precious. It means that your faith has been tried and it has become what? Precious. A faith that is not tried, when are you tried? They have tried that faith until it is now precious in the sight of God. It is this precious stone that is the building material for the abode of the Father. If it's not precious, it can't become a sure foundation. I think there's that scripture in Isaiah 28. Can we just see that scripture? Amen. I hope I'm making progress. Look at Isaiah 28. Take me to that scripture when I was saying, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay where? In Zion, for a foundation, first a stone, then what? A tried stone, then what? A precious cornerstone. Now, so when a stone is becoming precious, that stone is fathomed in charity. So, and it's breaking. When you are fallen in charity, you're already breaking the veil. You're already breaking a veil into life. A light is already dawning on you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Precious cornerstone. This is God that calls it precious. Precious cornerstone. Then, comma, a what? Sure foundation. This is the foundation that God built on. Amen. Amen. Anything that is not sure. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah that talks about sure dwellings. If it's not sure foundation, God can't dwell there. They build on a foundation that is sure. Hallelujah. So now, as the light of God is shining to Zion, He wants to make Zion a sure dwelling. Zion must become a sure dwelling, must become a place where the forces of Godhood have raised Zion. Zion has become a fortress of God. Meaning you and I will come to a place where we can house in corruption. When I say you are housing in corruption, is the nature of God. That's the nature of the everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you heard that scripture? It says, have you not known, have you not heard? That the everlasting God. The Lord. He what? The creator of the ends of the net. He does not what? Faint. Take me to Isaiah 40. Hallelujah. These are things that they are bringing in this season. Can we say amen? Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the hands of the earth. I like that one. So, meaning it's the everlasting Lord that created it's the everlasting Lord that created the earth. So the everlasting God is not the eternal God. Because eternal God is before the world began. So creation is everlasting. So if it was eternal God that brought forth creation, creation will have not passed away. Creation will not pass away. So meaning that God stepped out of eternity into everlasting to bring forth creation. So creation, amen, the earth and the heavens, because the creation starts with heavens, then the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now that heavens and the earth is the heavens and the earth of this everlasting domain. Dominion of the air, of the present. This is everlasting dominion of the present. But God is an eternal God. The eternalness of God defines the rested God. The way God painted eternity or the eternal life to me is when God is at rest. Eternal life is when God is at rest. That's the Sabbath of God. When everlasting life is when everlasting life is at work, God has reduced himself. Because man can't see God. You know, that's the way the scripture painted it. God was in unapproachable light, of which no man has seen or can see. So, naturally, man can't see God. It's just to see God, that is not talking about physically seeing God, it's understanding God. You can't know God except God leaves that domain into a domain where you can see Him. So, the everlasting domain is the dominion where man can sight God. Hallelujah. So God created the present with an everlasting seed. Everlasting seed. Okay. He didn't use an eternal seed. If he had used it, the present creation would have stayed. So, but they, you know, how many of you know that God has his own creation? Amen. That creation is what they are raising in this season. In this season of the dawning of God's life, God himself wants to raise his own creation. Hallelujah. God's creation. God's creation are those that are born of incorruption. So to be born of God is to be born of his seed that makes you live above the present. Hallelujah. So the everlasting God here, they're referring to the creator of the hands of the earth. He says, he fainted not, neither is he weary. And they say there's no searching of his what? Understanding. Can we say amen? So there is an understanding of the everlasting God. Okay, that understanding is what they must give to Zion. Because Zion must first become everlasting before Zion can become a place of God's rest. And God can't even near anything that is not lasting forever. So he says, there is no searching to his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. If light does not dawn on Zion, Zion will faint. The light that she had before is not enough for her to wither the storm of the season that is upon the head. Meaning that if Zion does not get this power, Zion will fail in her strength.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Sabrina Macastelia, Brugulubria Nepesia. Oh, for the season of fainting is here upon the earth.
Yes.
For the season upon the earth is the season when men will faint.
Men's
men will faint. Men will faint. Men with faith. And that is why we have gone ahead to protect the posterity. To send light. To send a higher light. To send a higher light that will give you strength. That will give Zion strength. That will give Zion strength. That will increase the strength. Ah, strength beyond fainting. Strength beyond fainting. Strength that will keep Zion from fainting. Strength that will enable Zion not to faint. Oh, if you do not accept this light, you fainting is inevitable.
Yes.
Fainting is inevitable. Being weary is inevitable. You will be weary. You will be weary. For man's strength can run the race of everlasting. Man's energy can run the race that is everlasting. So we have sent everlasting light, everlasting strength, everlasting grace, everlasting power.
Amen.
To make you to ascend beyond fainting.
Actually, the forces that are on the earth right now, sir, they are forces to make men faint. There's a scripture like that. It says, what's that scripture? Yes, yes. Many are fainting. There's another one, I think, in Daniel. I've forgotten that scripture. Yes, weary out the saints. The saints are being wearied out. Men are tired. You notice that people are getting tired. If you don't have a higher hope, you'll be tired. Now, the church, sir, is getting tired. We are getting tired. We can't sustain Christianity with the current light. We need to make upgrade. It is when everlasting light is coming that you receive new strength. It's strength, because we'll be dealing with everlasting enemies. This is where you begin to really, really combat the adversary. The adversary is an everlasting adversary. So you need the strength to combat him. If not, you will go, they will tire you out. Like Pastor Jimati was saying, they know us very well. They know how to weaken you. So everlasting life is also wisdom that is able to beat the wiles of the devil. Hallelujah. So now, he gave it power to the faint, and they that have what? No might. Now, these no mites are Christ. When they say no mites, then you think that it's because they are weak. No. You see, Christ has mites. But what they want to give Christ is all might. So when you compare might to all might, it's like no might. It cannot stand the warfare that is ahead. So they must increase your strength and your might. So them that have no might, increase their strength. He increases strength. So meaning they have strength. But our strength is not enough. Paul refers thee into all might. Take me to Colossians chapter 1. We are coming back here. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10. Down to 11. Strengthened with all might. It first says, increasing the knowledge of God. Then strengthened with all, all might. So what? The dawning of God's light does that he begins to give us all might. This is the strength of the Almighty. All might. Strengthened with all might. According to what? His glorious power. He gave power to the faith. So this power is not just power. It's glorious power. Heaven is a glorious power. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So, but salvation itself is a power. It's a glorious power. It is inoculation against perishing. So, meaning perishing is a power. Perishing is a power that works against your will. You will perish. Because a power is at work that you know nothing of. It is a mystery. The power of corruption or perishing is a mystery. It's a law that is higher than man. So you need to access a higher dominion of power. With all might, according to his glorious power, with all patience. These are domains in everlasting life. And long suffering with all what? Joyfulness. You know, John says, these things are right to you that your joy might be full. That's how you come into strength. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the day of the dawning, what I'm just trying to do is just to describe that day very well. Okay? You can now see when Paul was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when he says, seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not. Because this ministry brings new strength. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, so there's something called this ministry. It's the ministry of salvation. It's not just any ministry. This ministry. So I think that in this dawning of God, God is raising standard of ministry. Everybody must begin to come to this kind of ministry. If not, you will faint. You see, the devils our fathers fought, they are not the same devils we will fight. In fact, they are not the devils we are fighting now. Even the fathers, they are asking questions. Things are spoiling before their eyes. And they can't do anything. It's just the truth. They cannot do anything because, amen, the battle has changed. Hallelujah! Amen! We need to import fresh energy. So, therefore, seeing that we have been saying we faint now, so it is this ministry of salvation, which is the giving of life everlasting, that will make you not faint not. If not, you will faint. You will faint if this strength does not come. Can we say amen? Amen. But I can tell you, God is coming already. Amen. How do I know? Light is dawning. Understanding is increasing. Hallelujah! Amen. Now, look at that. Now, let's now go to Isaiah 35. So, Zion must be in a season of waiting for God. So that's why, sir, I just noticed everybody is emphasizing charity. That's what I've been teaching since last year. In our Sunday meetings, I've been teaching charity. Charity. We have to be fervent in charity. I noticed that Pastor Mika, I noticed that you taught. I know most of the pastors are teaching it because that's the environment that the womb that will bear incorruptible seed. They have to sow the seed in that womb. If not, there will be abortion. We'll be having consistent abortion. You know, you can have, you know, what does it mean to have abortion? You have a seed, you lose it. You have a seed, you lose it. You have a seed. You cannot grow that seed to term. So the only way to grow the seed to term is make sure that the womb is conducive. To make the womb conducive, the churches must be fervent in charity. Can we shout charity? We must be fervent in charity. God help us. Can we say amen? So and they will sow the seed, and the seed will not be aborted. The seed can grow into the full life. You know, this ministry is called the full manifestation of eternal life. It must grow fully. The seed must grow. You know, eternal life starts with incorruption. That's the beginning of eternal life. Incorruption, to me, I may be wrong, is the milk of eternal life. Because eternal life is stronger than it. It's like eternal life is many things we don't know yet. We know that eternal life is immortality. But if you look at it, you know, Reverend was teaching us this weekend. He says, immortal, invisible. He says, so in that domain, there's not just immortality. He said, there's something they call invisible. I say, it was really laser. So you know, it's a journey. He said that invisibility is a nature of God that by the time you say you have gotten to know him, he becomes invisible again. That's the only way we keep learning God. Oh, Limon Lord, sir. By the time you say you have learned it, he becomes invisible. It's the nature of God that digs down to himself and brings something fresh. So in ages, we'll be learning God. So incorruption is the milk. When you are in incorruption, you are just begun eternal life. An incorruptible soul is the beginning of eternalness. So my incorruption is the work of the Father. The fatherhood of God is to make you first incorruptible. If you are incorruptible, yes, they can sow you into eternity. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Are you not excited? So Zion must wait on God. So all the beatitudes in Matthew, they are all beatitudes for Zion. Blessed are. Now, amen. Take me to Matthew 5, Isaiah 60, then we'll land in Isaiah 65. You know that the heaven, the real heaven is God. The real heaven is God. The present heaven is just a prototype of God. In the world to come, heaven is God. That's why the holy city will be coming out of God, out of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So blessed are they that mourn. Man, those are characteristics that show that Zion is ready for salvation. Take me up. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are ever so poor. This is I'm not talking about natural poverty. It's to be empty. So Christ must make you empty. When you learn Christ and you are not hungry for God, it means something is wrong with you. Because woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Zion should not make you at ease. Zionic training should make you look for God. No wonder this is the man that God will look at, him that is of a broken and contrite spirit. Isaiah 66, that trembles at my word. That word is the word of God. So Zion is in a state of poverty, emptiness. That's what they that mourn. For they shall be comforted. Mourners. Those mourners, you know, it's just a state of sobriety. So you see the epistles, Peter would say, be sober. Be vigilant. Amen. It's a state that you must be in to be able to nurture the incorruptible seed. Blessed are they that mourn. That mourning is, another word for mourning is weeping. It's spread through scriptures. I don't have time to look into that. Or groaning. There's a groan that you must first have. Now, there are other groanings that you must keep having, but the first groan of Zion is to call for the Father. It is this one that cry, Abba Father. I knew but you didn't cry. Amen. It's not, it is, you, there is a cry that must come out of your spirit, out of your heart, in desperation for God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Okay, blessed are they that are hunger and thirst. That's the next one I want to say. After righteousness. So this righteousness is everlasting righteousness. For they shall be filled. Amen. So you can see Isaiah 60. Take me to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. For it has what? Anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up. Everybody say bind up. The brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. To proclaim first the acceptable year of the Lord, and then the day of the vengeance of our God. Hallelujah. So the day of salvation is the day of vengeance. God is taking vengeance over the enemies of our soul. Hallelujah. So there are enemies that are too strong for you that you cannot fight. David said that in Psalm 18. Then he began to call on God and God came. So, in the day of the vengeance, God himself is the one taking vengeance. Meaning, salvation is vengeance. When God is saving you, that's how he takes vengeance. Vengeance is not that God will show me, but when I want to worry me, alone, my worry, you see, you are touching me, the apple of God, God will show you. That's not vengeance. Vengeance is that God will come and deliver you. In fact, there's a place in scripture where the Bible says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, say the Lord. He said, when he said vengeance is mine, he was talking about, now take me to that scripture. He was talking about a nature of loving your enemies. Take me there. Romans chapter 13. Loving your enemies and repaying evil with good. Take me to verse 18. I want to show you a principle here. Amen. So that you understand the concept of vengeance. Amen. I'm waiting. No. Take me up a little bit. Take me up a little bit. Verse 17. Let's see verse 17. Amen. He said, when they talk about heaping coals of fire. Now, to heap coals of fire is to break your enemy until they melt. Aha! Thank you. Start from verse 19. Thank you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. This is a very high commandment. It's a commandment of salvation. No rather give place to God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. That operation is a God operation. And it's the operation of salvation. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now how does he repay? Verse 20. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, do what? Feed him. For if he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you do what? Heap coals of fire on his head. Now, coals of fire on his head is not that you are judging your enemy. No, it means that, you see, in those days, to melt iron, they put coals on iron to melt it so that they can beat it to shape and make a sword out of it. So they are saying that when salvation is going inside, you know, the law commandment in the day of salvation is a very high one. It's a salvation commandment that can save even your enemies. They are saying as you are obeying law commandment, what is happening to you? You are putting your enemy in a state where that enemy will break. So therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, you are doing commandments that can break such a soul. So, you know, that salvation thing is a very powerful. As they are saving you, you can save others. It's a love thing. Everything about salvation is a love walk. It's a high love walk. Now, look at verse 20. Amen. Listen to 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So, I'm just trying to explain vengeance. When we say vengeance, it means salvation. When God is taking vengeance, he's saving you from your adversary, and he's also using you to save others. Save others. He's stopping the enemy at his track. Stopping perishing. Stopping darkness. Breaking darkness. Hallelujah. Now take me back to Isaiah 60. Thank you.
Our program.
Amen.
Our agenda is to bring many sons to this estate, to stop curses, to end curses, to stop curses, to destroy the curse of Satan, even upon humanity, even to rescue men, to save men. Our life is sent to us, even to men, to raise men to stop the plague of the enemy.
Amen.
To stop the plague of the adversary, that a adversary will no longer continue, that death will no longer continue,
Amen. That
death will no longer continue. And that is the reason for our life. That is the reason for our life. That is the reason for our vengeance. That is the reason for the day of the vengeance of our God.
Amen.
That is the reason that plague of sin, that plague of death will no longer continue.
Yes.
So we are raising many. We are raising many who will embody this light. Who will embody this light. Who will embody this light and save humanity.
Amen. Hallelujah. So to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. So that day is also referred to the day of salvation. Okay, to all, comfort all that mourn. So Zion must be in a state of mourning for comfort to come. So salvation is comfort. The salvation of God is the comfort of Zion. To appoint to all them that mourn in Zion, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of what? Righteousness. So actually what the incorruptible seed must become is a what? Tree of righteousness. This is a stature. This is a full stature of the Son. This is a begotten Son. Hallelujah. The planting of the Lord, that he may be what? glorified, that God will be glorified. Amen. So, Zion must be in a state of mourning or waiting for God. So Isaiah 35 says this. It says, and the wilderness, Isaiah 35 verse 1, and the wilderness and the solitary places shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. So what the teaching of Christ will produce in you is a state of hunger or parchedness. You must be thirsty for God. What did I say you must be? He says, it shall blossom abundantly. Okay? Meaning it's a wilderness. So you can see that anytime you see wilderness in Scripture is a spiritual prototype of a spiritual church of Christ. Christ is the wilderness of God. Can we say amen? So you need that state to now begin to pant for God's light. He says, it shall blossom abundantly, rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellency of Carmel. And they shall see the glory of the Lord, one, and they shall also see what? The excellency of our God. So two things. Zion will see first the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is everlasting life. Can we say amen? Amen. And then the excellency of our God is eternal glory or eternal life. So those two things will come to Zion. But Zion must first be in wilderness. There must be, to be in that state is the state of hunger. Deep hunger. So we are, this season is what I'm describing. This season we must be hungry. And when we are hungry, the first thing they will give us is milk. The milk of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The milk of everlasting life. That one will help you to have strength so that you can take meat of everlasting life. Amen. I hope I'm not confusing anybody. So, amen, let's make progress as Isaiah 35. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 3. Strengthen ye weak hands. Strength. So we're in a season when we must be strengthened. Weak hands and confirm feeble knees. Confirm. Why? Say to them. Now when you see in scripture, say to them, they are saying that they must preach things to you. Say to them of a fearful heart. Now who are these people of a fearful heart? They are those that are in the acceptable time. Hallelujah. Well, to be fearful of heart, sir, is to be of brokenness, contrite spirit, trembling. It's a state of trembling. It's a state where you there it's a state where we are anticipating the visitation of light. Hallelujah. So say to them that of what? A fearful heart. Be strong. Fear not. Amen. Amen. So Zion must be strengthened first. Can we say amen? Amen. Isaiah 52, awake, awake, O Zion. Eh? Put on thy strength. Then put on thy beautiful garments. So those garments are salvation garments. But Zion must be first strengthened. So hallelujah. So don't be fearful. Be strong. Eh? Behold, your God will come. Your God will come. So you are waiting for God. But he will come how? First with vengeance. Evil God with what? A recompense. So God is coming twice to Zion. Can we say amen? What did I say, sir? The scriptures are not repeating. He will come with vengeance. Evil God with what? Recompense. Another word for recompense is reward. So God will come with salvation to Zion. And after God comes with salvation, God will come with reward. Take me to Isaiah 62. We know that scripture now. Quickly look at it. We'll come back here. Isaiah 62 verse 11. Verse 11. Say unto the daughter of Zion, behold, the Lord has spoken unto the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. So salvation coming is vengeance coming. Hallelujah. So when God is avenging you, he's saving you. God does not take it does not take sight. In fact, when your brother is attacking you, God will not come and take your side and say, I'm comforting you. You know what God will say? Love your brother more. God does not side anybody. But, hey, well, you don't understand that this is what my brother did, this and that. God said, I know. Bear with him. That is who I am. That's how God is saving you. That's a commandment of salvation. It means you will have to bear more. God will not come at me and say, I know what your brother is doing. I'm going to kill that your brother. God doesn't do like that. So salvation is God taking vengeance over his enemy that is still inside you. God wants to save you completely. That's how he takes vengeance over his, your adversary. So God says, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work is before him. So two things here, salvation and reward. Am I right? So let's go back to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 now shows us vengeance. God coming twice to Zion. First to save Zion. And then to with recompense. He now says he will come and save you. So full salvation, this full salvation work. Full salvation work includes God giving you everlasting life and crowning it with what? Eternal life. This is a full salvation work. Even God, with a recompense, he will come and save you. So God will save Zion. Why? Zion will be... God has chosen that Zion will be a place he will rest. So God cannot rest in a house that he has not saved. A salvation habitation is where our God will rest for all ages. Can we all say amen? Amen. Now let's make progress. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just read down some verses and just tie the thoughts of some. Then the eyes of the blind shall be stopped, opened, and the ears of the dead shall be unstopped, and the lame man shall leap as an hart. You know, there are miracles of salvation. Those miracles of salvation is to make man whole. I know we have seen eyes open physically in crusades. I know many of you have seen it. You see hand grow out, see legs grow out. Those are beautiful, but they are just a prophecy of what God will do in the day of salvation. So as you have seen, now we are going to still see physical eyes healed. Yes, all those things, wonderful. We will still see them, but we will see much more. God heal man. Amen. You know, it's difficult. That's even your son. Sin has devastated man. To now heal man, to make a man whole, is to restore man and save him. To save man is to make him like God. Put in substances that make God God. Turn him from dust. Deck him with laws of incorruptibility. So, we're going to see all this in the season of salvation. This day that is dawning upon us, it will be full of miracles. Miracles of restoration, of transformation, of turning mere men and You know, when they say somebody is dust, you know, somebody is a reed, shaken by the wind, but they now make him a rock. You know, one of the properties of rock is that they are irremovable. When they say they are making you a rock, they are making you a system of fortification. That is salvation. Can we say amen? That is a miracle of salvation. To make flesh into a glorious entity. So, then shall the lame man leap as a harp. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. This tongue of the dumb shall sing. It's not song, it's not music. It's the song of God. In Revelation chapter 14, he talks about those that are with the lamp on Zion. They began to harp. And no man could learn that song. Except they that have been redeemed from the earth. Redeemed from amongst men. So, redemption or salvation is equipment to sing the song of God. Hallelujah. Everybody say song of God. Song of God is the what? Singing the life. It's like giving witness to the life that is in God, which is eternal life. So they are saying here that the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness water shall break for streams in the desert. Take me to verse 9. No lion shall be there, no ravenous beast shall go up there, it shall be not found there, for the redeemed shall walk there. I'm talking about the highway of our God. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. With what? Songs. And what? Everybody say songs. Those songs are calibrations of life that are in Zion. Can we say amen? So Zion will sing song of everlasting life. But Zion will also sing the song of eternal life. Can we say amen? That's why they put songs there. It says everlasting joy shall be what? On their forehead. Everlasting joy, yeah, is fullness of life. Now this was the work in rounding up that John was doing in the church. You know, Paul and Peter, they had brought a measure of everlasting life to churches. But Christ, Paul, Christ, the revelation of Christ to church, talked about everlasting life to a degree. Peter brought everlasting life and Christ to a degree. John was supposed to bring the full God light into the church by starting with everlasting. So then move it into eternal. So you could see in 1 John chapter 1, it says, these things I write unto you. So that you was a Zion church that was already taking steps in everlasting salvation. That your joy might be full. They already had joy, but they have to make it full. So that your joy might be full. So everlasting joy is full joy. He says, everlasting joy will be written on their foreheads. Hallelujah. That's the name of the Father. Revelation chapter 14 says, on Zion there was a company that stood with the Lamb, having the Father's name written on their forehead. That's the tattoo of the Father. And that is the proof that the Father has finished his work. You have his name. You have his nature. These are the baptisms that the church must bring, that the church must bring believers into. The baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of the Son, and then the baptism of the Father. That baptism is to make her incorruptible. That is salvation. Ready for eternal. So he says, everlasting joy shall be on their forehead. That is the sign of salvation. That means that they have sealed you with salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we are not just talking things that will not happen. These things will happen. Are they already happening? God is already saving men. The last thing shall be on their heads, and they shall obtain what? Joy. And what? Gladness. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. All this will happen in this season of salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 10, chapter 2, verse 10. So we will obtain salvation and then glory. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. So this elect are Zion. Zion has been elect by the truth of Christ. The operation of sanctification by faith of Christ has made Zion elect. Can we say amen? So Paul says, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also. Heaven said that they may also. You know, I believe it with all my heart that you can inherit everlasting life. I believe it because this man who wrote it, look at it, by theological accuracy, this was the last epistle of Paul. So Paul was writing what he had obtained. Paul obtained it. Look at it. Therefore, in your own things for elect, that they may also. He said they may also. It means he had. Kai! This is serious. So, sir, you were saying yesterday that this thing you will know. You know, it's not like, hey, well, we don't know, we are just humble. You know, salvation is a precise thing. Yes, sir. I say you will know. Yes. When they are saving you, you will know. Yes. There are some things you will not see them anymore. You will know when there's growth of incorruption inside you. I say you will know. Yes. You are not going to be ignorant. If you are pregnant, I say you don't know. When you are 7 months pregnant, it says, oh, loin me. I said, when you are carrying the seed of God inside you, and it's not just seed, it's becoming the baby. Because a church will give birth to the mankind. You will know that something is growing inside you. Because the light, hallelujah, will shine brighter and brighter until a perfect day. So brethren, we are moving into perfection. So the light will get brighter. When the light day is done, you know. When the day is now growing, the light is going, you know, you can see clearly. So we will see clearly. So therefore, endure all things for the elect's sake. Why? That they may also obtain what? The salvation. Ever say obtain salvation? Which is where? In Jesus Christ. So that salvation is incorruption. That's the first phase of salvation. It's obtaining corruption. Because Paul says that, see, I tell you, corruption cannot inherit incorruption. He says, I tell you, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So as long as you are flesh, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. They must first make you spirit. Spiritual. It will take a spiritual man to gain entrance into the dominion of God. So it will take a spiritual man to become incorruptible. So they are saying here, because these churches are journeys, it says, you may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. But you not just obtain salvation. Salvation is coming with what? Eternal glory. This is the crown of salvation. So the beginning of God's day is the beginning of this salvation. So what they are announcing on this high place in the spirit is the coming of the light to save us. He will come and save us. He's not going to just save us. He will save us to the uttermost. And then he will give us glory. Hallelujah. You know, you have heard the scripture that said God says he will not give, he will not share his glory with any man. Have you heard that song before? He will not share his glory with flesh. You are the Lord, that is your name. You will never share your glory with any man. You will never share your glory with anybody. God will share his glory with some people. I am telling you, he will share. He will give them an estate on his throne. That throne is not a chair. Is the construct of eternal life. Because when heaven and earth passes away, the throne will remain. In Revelation chapter 20, remember that when God opened that his eternal face, creation fled. The present heaven and earth fled. But the throne remains. So that throne is an entity of God. What God used to make the throne is eternal life. The throne of God is an entity of eternal life. So God says he will share his throne. How do I know? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says that if you'll overcome, I will make you sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sit. So some people will share. This throne is the estate of eternal life. A church will come here. They will be caught up first to God, then his throne. They will partake not just of salvation, but of eternal glory. This is the summary of the program God is doing in this season. It has already begun. This conference is sounding it. The dawning of God's day. This is what they want to do in every church. They want to take believers beyond born again to make them like their father. I say your father is incorruptible. You are not saying amen. I say your father is undefiled. I say your father is unfading. That is what they want to do in you. I say your father is without variableness. Is without shadow of turning. Your father is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he a son of man that he should repent. Your father does not turn, you will not turn. We're in that season when they are giving understanding to make you remain. And if you are durable, you are durable. You will be durable. You are durable, you will abide. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not a iota of this everlasting world will not pass away. It will bring forth a generation of those that are incorruptible. People that will remain. Have you ever thought, when heaven and earth pass away, at the face of him that is seated on the throne, where will creation be? But the generation of people, they will find themselves in God. Because God has raised them to the state where they can see God. They can know God. God has said that no man can see me and live. He told Moses. Moses said, show me your face. He says, no, no man can see me and live. But a generation will see God. I say a generation will see God. So the light of God's day is a light that will shine brighter. Everlasting light is the beginning of the light. But it's going to culminate in eternal life. Can we say amen? The knowledge of the holy true God. The Lord bless you. The Lord strengthen you. This word will not stand against you in judgment. I say you will bear fruit after this word. All of us will remain. We will abide. And we will hold. We will come into glory. In Jesus' name. Can we stand to our feet and begin to thank the Lord?
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed. We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.